if someone told you they were working 100 hours a week for year after year, you would tell them, hey, that's crazy. You got to slow down. But with you, it's like, no, I can do it. You can't. I live by my calendar. And if it's not on my calendar, right, I don't do it. And so that's, I think, a huge way for us to take control of our work schedule is to actually time block and put it on your calendar.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Scott Reeb. He is an official Zig Ziglar small business lawyer, which is a string of words I never thought I would say, but it's really cool. He is also a Ziglar Legacy certified trainer, and it's no wonder that Scott is known as America's legal coach, which is also something we should explore later on. For the last two decades, Scott has been helping business owners, entrepreneurs, and coaches shatterproof their businesses by implementing strategic strategies for structure, growth, and protection. Even with 20 plus years of legal experience, Scott is a firm believer that legal advice doesn't have to be expensive or intimidating. Can I get an amen? His passion lies in changing the way we view legal counsel, from emergency situations to primary care provider relationships. Scott is shifting this perspective via Access Plan, his groundbreaking subscription model legal service, where he helps clients understand their legal questions before they find themselves in a legal emergency. We'll ask him to give some info at the end of the show on that. Scott has recently launched his own podcast, whoop whoop, The Shatterproof Entrepreneur, and he and I are in talks of spinning out a bunch of sister shows for it that we were brainstorming just before we recorded. And this show is where he shares these strategies with business owners and coaches, watching them grow and succeed. He's also publishing his first book, which is awesome, under the same name, which is due to be released this spring, wherever fine books are sold. And he's holding it up for those of you who are audio only. He's doing his best Vanna White. It's a great presentation. Something not in his bio. He used to work on the Price is Right, and he would display all the jet skis. I'm just kidding. I just sent somebody off on a Google adventure with that one. But welcome to the show, Scott.
Wow, did you make up all that stuff?
Most of it. I think it was ChatGPT.
Yes.
And then I sprinkled in a little personality.
I thought I recognized that. Thanks for having me on the show, yeah, Kenny. I'm looking forward to it. And I think we can have a lot of fun and help some people.
Absolutely. Well, tell me, Scott, today, what is on your mind?
Well, today, the thing that's on my mind is how to truly be successful. I think a lot of people don't really understand what it takes. And I think there's kind of a fast food mentality right now about success, and everyone's looking for the instant success. What next thing can I do? What's the thing I can do? What's the lever I can pull that's going to make me successful? Because we see everyone becoming instantly successful on social media, and that's not how it works. I'm a 27 year overnight success, and I can tell you how it works. It's not that you can get rich tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, I know. I think Dave Ramsey says something similar he hit an inflection point and grew big, and he goes, and everybody was saying, you know, after 15, 20 years, that was an overnight success. There's a lot of years where nobody sees you hard at work before that, you know, you reach whatever success is. I would be curious, in your vast experience as an entrepreneur and working with entrepreneurs and business leaders, what are you seeing as a definition of success? That's something you hear a lot of discussions about, or see posts on LinkedIn and so forth, about what success means to somebody and what does it mean to run in your lane to chase what that means for you.
Yeah, and everyone's definition is and should be a little bit different, for sure. And it probably almost always has some financial component to it. Sure. But that shouldn't be the only goal. I think for me, for a long time, that was success, trying to hit $1 million, trying to have $1 million. And those numbers are still fairly important, but really what became more important to me was that I could have the kind of life that I want to live. You know, that I determine when I work, I determine when I can work out, when I spend time with my family. Those are the things that really will define me. And when I'm gone, no one's going to talk about how much money I had. They're going to talk about the times they spent with me, the experiences we had, and that I was able to create a life that I wanted. And that's, to me, at the end, that's going to be successful. And that changes over time, because what I want out of life will change as I get older. My life isn't the same now as I'm 55 as it was when I was in my 40s. Not just because I'm older, but because I do different things. My kids are grown up. I'm no longer coaching 3 soccer teams. I've got different things I'm doing. And so I'm finding ways to be fulfilled doing different things. Yeah, you laughed because we talked about before the show, your soccer days. And that, but success is, it's what you make, it's what you can make of your life. And then the other part of success, I think, is that you've got to enjoy the smaller successes, like, and celebrate it. Like, I get to work out every morning when I want to. I don't have to work out at 6 or 5 in the morning. I work out at 9 or 10 in the morning because that works with my schedule better. I likely get it done. I enjoy it that way. I couldn't always do that, but now I can. And I really appreciate that. And I'm thankful that I have that. I've reached that part of success in my life where I can design my schedule the way I want it. And I'm not an employee, so that makes a big difference. But that's a part of being successful, I think, is enjoying the little things as you hit these marks. That's success. The journey is part of the success. Don't get so focused on the destination that you miss these little wins.
Really well said. And to be honest, something that I struggle with is celebrating those small wins. I have to be conscientious of, like, hey, this was a good day, and not go, okay, great. On to the next thing, on to the next achievement, the next, you know, rung in the ladder, so to speak.
Yep.
Given that, then that's a great definition of success, and a lot of it is like the freedom of schedule or of time, as I think Dan Sullivan talks about, you know, one of those, like, freedom of finances, which you mentioned, but that freedom of time and schedule and designing your day. But if when you hear those things, you think, yeah, that is great. I would feel successful if I could do those things. But if it's so intuitive, then why are so many people, as you mentioned at the very beginning, they're chasing this short-term success? So what's the thinking, the mental model that people are buying into or adopting that's leading to this short-term chase that's keeping them from true success?
Yeah, I think it probably comes down to there's a real materialistic mindset that we want the things, the accoutrements of what we think success looks like or what the world says success looks like. And it's just in front of us every day. You're consuming all kinds of media that just is showing the Lamborghinis and all these people in front of jets that aren't even theirs. But our brain sees that, and then we start trying to chase it. Starts trying to chase it. And so if you don't take control of what you're thinking about, suddenly you're chasing things that you don't really need or want. It's just that everyone else is getting that, and so you think you should have it. Instead, again, of trying to of sitting down and actually, what do I want my life to look like? What do I want out of life? And I think everything should be reverse engineered. You know, where I want to get, I want to be here. How do I get here? And then back it up.
That's great. I want to get to the reverse engineering, but first I'd love for you to talk a little bit about, what do you see, like, what are the unproductive outcomes or the negative outcomes of being so short-sighted or materialistic, and, you know, success equals, you know, Lamborghini or doing something that I can Instagram or put on TikTok or some other platform, you know, to be named later. What are some of the outcomes and the ways that you're seeing this negatively affect business leaders and entrepreneurs?
I think the biggest way it's affecting it is people give up because they can't get there fast. And so when they put in, let's say, 6 months at something, and they don't have the Lamborghini yet, or even see a path to it, they give up. It must be the wrong plan. And I see that happening a lot around me. I mean, you mentioned I've started a new podcast, and my understanding from talking to other people in the industry, that once you get to 20 episodes, and I've already recorded 15, then you're in the top 1% of all podcasts. And the reason is because everyone quits, because there's no instant gratification. Again, they didn't get the fancy car. No one handed them something fancy for doing 5 episodes. So they quit.
Right. And they don't get the big sponsorship
no one's paying them to be an influencer, and so they give up when they if they would stick with it for years and enjoy the journey instead of wanting that instant microwave success, they would achieve a lot of their goals. It's not that they need a new plan. Everyone thinks they need a new plan.
Right. It might just be sticking with your plan longer than you think you should.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things that come to mind when you mention that of entrepreneurs giving up, that I'd love to hear your thoughts on. One is, there are stats every so often you come across, and I know it's morbid, but there is a fairly high depression and even suicide rate amongst entrepreneurs because of the perceived failure perceived failure is just not attaining the success, right? They're not finding those little moments. So I see it negatively impacting at the individual level. And I'm curious your thoughts on that, or if that's been part of your work or just encouraging others. I know obviously Zig Ziglar was huge on the encouragement and your mindset and positivity and some of those things. So you could speak there, but also like the greater business community, but just the community of humanity in general. What do we end up missing out on by these entrepreneurs giving up too early?
Oh, they missed the whole process.
Yeah, the individuals, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what do miss out on?
You kind of hit two things there. Being an entrepreneur, it can be a very lonely world, right? You're kind of on this island. And especially in today's entrepreneur where you have to have an iPad or an iPhone and you're in business. You don't have to have people. When I started my business, I needed people. And so I did have people around. But a lot of people now, it's just them sitting in a dark room creating whatever online thing they're doing. And that can be very lonely. And then when you don't see the instant success, you don't have anyone to help you gain perspective on what's going on. And that can be depressing and lead to suicide for sure. And so what I've found what I believe in is that people need to get into community. You and I both are Christians and believe that church is a great place for community, and everyone should get plugged in there. But everyone at church doesn't understand what we're dealing with as entrepreneurs. And so it's probably not enough. And so you need to get plugged into a group of entrepreneurs that are heading in the same direction you are, have a same worldview, and can not only hold you accountable to what you're planning to do, but give you perspective when you think you're failing so that you can stay more level. And what I've seen is that there's mastermind groups. I've got one called the Shatterproof Room where you can find like-minded people that you get together with probably weekly on calls, like over the internet, where you're at least seeing people face to face. And then quarterly you're having live meetups where you actually get to, shake some hands, hug each other's necks, and really get to know people. And then you're no longer on this island. If you have a problem, you can call somebody and say, hey, this is what's happening. This is how I see it. Am I right, wrong? But without those people, it's a tough journey. If you're an employee somewhere, you usually are surrounded by other employees, and you can kind of say, hey, the boss isn't treating me right today. What is it, me? And they're like, no, the boss is in a bad mood. As the entrepreneur, you don't really have that luxury unless you intentionally go find that group. And so I think it's a huge problem, but I think there are answers out there more than ever. It's just that you're going to have to invest money and time to get it. But it's being in those, in the rooms with those kind of people have really changed my trajectory.
Wow. And I'm glad you mentioned, your shatterproof room, and there's others, if you are, Christian faith oriented, I know Faith Driven Entrepreneur does groups. There's Convene, C12, but there's also, there's Vistage and several others. So there really are, I feel like there's more than there ever has been, these peer groups where you can go and be transparent and get that feedback. I know that was something I wish I had with my first company, because I did feel very, very isolated. It's like, who do I bounce these things off of? Because I can't go up, right? I'm at the top of the pyramid, so to speak. And my employees may or may not know, or they may not be the right people to process with me. So having a coach like you are, or a peer group can be great. So, and zooming out from the individual entrepreneur, I think about if people who have great heart, great idea, they see a gap in the marketplace and they want to create value there, but they're giving up too soon. What do all of us start to miss out on because they're giving up for one reason or another, but they're giving up too soon?
Yeah, that's hard to quantify, right? To get your hands around, but probably a lot of greatness. There's probably a lot of great things and things that should happen, but people are giving up too soon. There's definitely an art to quitting and knowing when you need to stop doing something, for sure.
Yeah.
You don't want to waste your time doing something you shouldn't be doing. But I think that there's a lot of things that don't quite come to fruition because whoever had the idea gives up too soon for whatever reason. They didn't have enough encouragement. Mm-hmm. They started having kind of tunnel vision and couldn't figure out what to do next to get to the promised land, and they quit.
Right. And one of the things that came to mind with your answer is they may not be in touch with why what they're doing is important.
Mm.
Right. And especially if they're focused on the sort of all these side roads, side benefits that may come from success. And certainly those are fine. Like things are fine. Probably would say don't chase things, chase purpose, but the why what you're doing matters. And I think can be incredibly powerful on the longevity. So for example, and one part of my work with companies is we'll set this long-term destination. Jim Collins calls it a big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yep.
And we talk about what do you want to get to? What's this big outcome? Like maybe let's define success. When do we want to get there? Let's set the pace. But we focus time with these leadership teams on what is the why does this matter? Who does this impact and why does it matter? Because there are going to be days that you want to give up where nobody's listening to your podcast, nobody read your blog, nobody liked your post, nobody accepted your proposal or opened your emails. And you're going to feel like all the evidence is telling you I'm terrible, I should give up. But if you have that why, then it can help sort of pull you through. And is that something in particular for you? I mean, making it 27 years is no joke. You've probably thought about quitting more than once, but do you feel that a strong why has kept you in the game, so to speak?
Yeah, I think for a long time, my why was just to take care of my family. I had some, I had enough fear driving me that kept me going to make sure I could pay the bills and get my boys through college and that kind of stuff. But about 10 years ago, it started to shift because I could kind of see that part, that was okay. God was taking care of me and that was okay. Then my why became how can I help more small business owners not have these problems that I keep having to fix? And you alluded to it earlier, the philosophy of emergency room versus primary care. And I wanted to become that primary care for entrepreneurs so that they could have healthier businesses. And once I had that why, then doing the hard things I had to do to transition my business model to work in that way was not easy, but it wasn't painful. It was enjoyable, most of it. You know, sometimes work's work, even if it's your purpose, it's still work. But yeah, so once I kind of nailed down that why, it really became easy to do what I do. One thing I have figured out is that just because I do have a purpose that drives me, and this is kind of where I'm working on something I'm working on now, is I need to have some passion outside of my business, or you can really become kind of stuck in life, and that you don't want your whole life to be about your business. And so you need to have some things outside of it that excite you, that you want to do. And so I'm kind of at a point now where I'm trying to figure out what are those things that I can do outside of business, because I love working. I would work 24 hours a day if I could. I love it.
Right.
But that's not healthy.
Yeah, it's not. Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I've been given that some thought as it pertains to focus, because I think a lot of the entrepreneurs who can make it past the first 18, 24 months and then 5 years and 10 years, like they show an incredible amount of focus in their service offerings and spending the right amount of time, growing the business, right? Like I think a lot of the short-term thinking leads to a lot of diffused attention to where I'm going to halfway do this and expect outsized results, and it doesn't come, and okay, I failed. It's like, yeah, but did you really give it your all? And I'm like you, I love the work that I do. There's a reason that I'm doing it, is because it's not just another thing to do or gotta go to the 9-to-5. And I know a lot of people feel that way, and not everybody's meant to be an entrepreneur, but you can still love your work. What's the right balance, maybe, as you've started thinking about this? And I really love my work. It makes it helped me fulfill a personal purpose. It's fulfilling. But I have these other things that maybe I should be pursuing because it'll enrich my work, enrich my life and my relationships. But how do you think about splitting that? Because like you and me, there's so many entrepreneurs who would just, and some do, they're working 100-hour weeks because they need to make it, or that's just, they're so passionate about the purpose, the cause, or the work. How do you balance that?
Yeah, it's difficult, but you have to be able to lead yourself first. And so you kind of have to back up from the situation and look at it like if you were talking to someone else, what would you tell them to do? And then take your own advice. Because if someone told you they were working 100 hours a week for year after year, you would tell them, hey, that's crazy, you got to slow down. But with you, it's like, no, I can do it. You can't. And you've got to figure out what are the parameters. And I live by my calendar. And if it's not on my calendar, I don't do it. And so that's, I think, a huge way for us to take control of our work schedule, is to actually time block and put it on your calendar. And even if you're going to do stuff after normal business hours, time block it. And if it's not on there for you to work, don't work. And you should be putting stuff on there for, personal things that you're going to do. When you're going to work out, when you're going to spend time with your significant other, when you're going to spend time with your kids, put all that on your calendar and then live by your calendar. And that will help you control the amount of hours that you pour into your business. Now, if you're a new entrepreneur, sorry, you're going to have to grind for a while. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, but don't do it forever. Get into a community where you can kind of check yourself. Like am I working too much? Because you can develop the habit of working hard and often, and then that becomes your life. And so, like I said, get some perspective on that, but live by the calendar, and that really helps shrink that work time.
I love that. And that's actually something that's become helpful for me. Is I would sort of like, I was regimented and disciplined about living by my calendar for work stuff, but then it was like free for all when it came to anything outside of that. And, you know, Michael Hyatt a long time ago had a quote that stuck with me, is like, what gets scheduled gets done. Yeah. You know, similar to like a lot of like metrics and KPIs, you hear what gets measured gets managed. Mm-hmm. But he said, if you don't put it on your calendar, the likelihood that it actually gets done, even if it's something for just the pure joy of it, he goes, the likelihood that it happens goes significantly down. He says, so do yourself a favor and put it on there. So it's like, well, why don't I apply what's working in my work life over here and personal life, yeah, start to integrate the two.
Yep.
Which is why I love the term. I've heard from several friends. One is that's actually in your area in DFW, Dr. Elise Cortez, who was on the show. She talks a lot about work-life integration. She said balance is ridiculous.
I agree.
She says, but work-life integration is attainable and it ends up having a healthier outcome. So I've done that. I would recommend to people that there are some cool apps. So I'm a nerd, so I love bringing apps into the mix. One that's helped me is Reclaim AI, and it allows you to reconcile multiple calendars, because I have like my family calendar, I have my business calendar, and I'm also on staff at my church, and I have a church calendar. Mm-hmm. And it could be easy to double book. And so it reconciled that, but they had a feature in there for habits. And so you could put in the habits you want, and it would help you make sure that you stayed with whatever your commitment was to, wow, to work out, to engage in a spiritual or meditation practice, go for a walk. It helps me make sure that I'm always taking a lunch, so I don't skip it. So I make sure to give myself a break to decompress during the day, so I'm not a jerk in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But it's something, yeah. So there's no one right way to do it, but that if you're technologically inclined, there's tools like Reclaim, Motion, and there's probably a few others that can help you stay true to those commitments. Because if you're probably like, I don't want to speak for you, Scott, but I'm willing to bet you would easily, if you had your own option, you would just schedule over the thing that, you know, your workout or something else, because a prospect was willing to talk to you at that time or something else. But if you block it on the calendar, you're like, well, I have a meeting with me for something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing you learn as you get further along the journey is that almost everything can wait. And that if a prospect calls and you can meet with him the same day, there's probably a problem. Unless you've had a cancellation. You're probably, that's psychologically not a good way to approach the sales process anyway. So
yeah,
stick to it. Make sure you have time on your calendar for new prospects, but yeah, don't move the things that are important to you. And if it's not important to you, it shouldn't go on your calendar.
Right. Absolutely. Looping back, you mentioned you really like Michael Hyatt, so I'm sure you've taken a look at like his Full Focus Planner and some of those materials, which I think are top notch. I cycle in and out of doing it. I tell people I have such an issue with authority that I'll break my own rules to show myself who's boss. But the planning the week, like going ahead and saying what's going to be most important to me, not just in work, but in life and in relationships or in rest.
Yeah.
And then book and blocking those times ahead of time. So even for those of you who prefer more of a paper method, I would recommend that. So as you're coaching leaders and you're moving into that, like that primary care provider, which I love the language, the sort of medical language there, because I do think it impacts you know, how your business is going can impact your mental, emotional, and even your physical health, as that sort of proactive care. So as you are coaching leaders and working with clients, what are some of the mental models or practices that you teach them to utilize or to bring into their routines or just way of thinking so that they start looking at success in that longer view instead of that short-term view?
Yeah. My thing is the 90-day blast, that life can be lived in chunks. And if you'll do it in 90-day chunks, everything becomes much, much more obtainable. Longer than that, I lose focus, and it's hard for me to believe I can do it. I just finished a shorter run where I did 75 hard. It's a similar thing where it's a shorter time frame. It's not a year goal or a 5-year goal. That's my goal for 75 days. But with the 90-day dash blast, you figure out what it is you want to achieve. You set that goal. The first time I used the 90-day blast was to lose weight. I had gotten heavy in the first year of my new firm and needed to lose 40 pounds. And so I set my goals and had for 90 days, how I was going to achieve them. And when you set new goals, you go through the process of figuring out what are the steps that it takes to achieve them. So, getting my diet under control, I signed up for Weight Watchers nutrition. I signed up at a gym and got a trainer. And all the steps, and then what are the obstacles, and list all that stuff up. And I create a sheet that I can look at daily with all that information on it. And then for 90 days, you follow that plan to achieve that goal. And it can be used for anything, personal. So that, like the integration you're talking about, this is your life. And so when there's something you're trying to achieve, if you use the 90-day blast to do it, and then at the end of 90 days, you can set a new one. Or if you didn't quite make it, then do it for another 90 days. Because sometimes you don't. Sometimes you fall short. And that's okay as long as you're making progress. But do it again. And you can do multiple. You can have multiple 90-day blasts going at the same time. I would probably start with one. But that's the way to achieve things in something that you can really kind of control and be successful with, instead of this long-term plan, 90 days. You can do it with anything. The other thing I think that people need to do is limit their priorities. I think you can only have three or four at any given time. Any more than that, you're kidding yourself if you think the fifth thing's a priority. It just isn't.
Right.
And it's going to shift from time to time. From month to month, your priorities may change, but business owners should have 3 to 4 major priorities or initiatives that they're running through that 90-day blast all the time. And so every day you're going to get up and figure out which of my 4 am I going to work on, and make sure that you've taken at least three things that day to move towards those goals. And if you have those written down on your schedule, you get to the end of 90 days and you're going to either achieve a lot of it or come really close. And so to me, that's something you can you could take a 30-minute break this afternoon and write down your goal, the steps to achieve it, the obstacles, and achieve that, get that first 90-day blast going.
That's excellent. So somebody can do that and literally just get a piece of paper or their notes app even.
It's in my book. And so if you get the book, there's actually a QR code that takes you to a form for the 90-day blast. So if you don't have to create it for yourself, it's right there.
Oh, perfect. So please make sure go out, get the book, get that form, so you can start to make some progress. Yeah, it is funny how just taking the 90 days and building on it, then you're like, okay, well, I'm further along than I was 90 days ago. And he just, like, that momentum after a couple of them, you start to feel like, well, shoot, I might actually be able to do this. I'm building something really neat here. Yeah. Instead of the, oh my God, I'm lost in a sea of day to day, right? Or it's now until 10 years. And that feels like impossible to conceptualize. And you're like, I'm so far behind. But if it's like, nope, just get to the end of the quarter, just get to the end of the 90 days or whatever it is.
Yeah. Because if I used to set 1 year goals, and the problem would be I would get to month 9 or 10 and I hadn't made very much progress. And so with the 90 day goals, I don't have that problem because I'm constantly measuring the progress. At the end of 90 days, it's like, where am I? Okay, I didn't quite get there. I'm resetting. And so I end up with a year goal, but I've been able to really take stock every 90 days of whether I'm moving in the right direction instead of getting to the end of the year and going, oh, well, another goal I didn't achieve.
Right, which after a while, just learned helplessness starts to set in. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you may take, like, you're still having a one-year target. Or is in the system and soul language I use, we talk about a 1 year bet, but you may say, well, let me chunk this down. Like you said, we can work in chunks. Let me chunk this down 90 days to make some progress towards that. What's something I could do?
Yep.
And then work the steps. I do love that you encourage people to list out the obstacles. Because if you think there aren't going to be any, you are deceiving yourself. But knowing that at least takes away that element of surprise, which can sometimes derail you because you're so frustrated by that obstacle popping up, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and setting any goals, goal setting program, they always needs to have the steps that you need to take to achieve the goal and then the obstacles. And remember, your goal needs to be specific, measurable, and reasonable.
Absolutely. I also with my clients would do a similar process and encourage them to set a 30 and a 60 day sort of milestone of some tangible proof of progress made. Mm-hmm. And so if you're with a small team, obviously you have teammates, but if you're flying solo for the moment, that's where coaches like Scott or these peer groups that he mentioned, those can be really helpful. Is I'm going to commit to you to bring this to you, to show you that I'm making proof, because that accountability can do a lot for you, just knowing somebody's going to take a look at what you did or ask you about it.
Yep. I agree.
Well, Scott, this has been a fantastic conversation. I think it's going to help a lot of people. You have obviously a book and more content. Can you talk a little bit about where you would send people and how they can start to engage with you?
Yeah, I would love for them to go get the book. It's on Amazon at The Shatterproof Entrepreneur. You can come to the podcast also, that name. But the best place for you to go right now is go to our website at reblaw.com. That's reiblaw.com/leaders-think. And if you'll go to that page, I'll have a special place there where you can schedule a 20-minute session, not with someone here at the team, with me, and we'll talk about your business. If you want to talk about leadership issues, if you want to talk about doing a 90-day blast, I'll help you get that all set out, whatever you want to talk about. And then you can also download my ebook on the six ways to shatterproof your business.
Love that. Thank you so much for that. And also while you're on his website, go check out the subscription legal model. Scott and a different call got to describe that to me, and I wish I would have known about that with my first business. I'm glad I know about it now, because there's so many ways that young businesses can get themselves into trouble. Mm-hmm. So something like that, definitely go check that out. Well, Scott, thank you so much for dropping your wisdom. I hope to have you back in the future. I think the work that you're doing is vitally important to our entrepreneurial community. And for all of you who are listening, watching, or consuming, however it is, maybe you've got one of Elon Musk's Neuralink and you're just watching this in your eyeballs right now. But we appreciate that you tuning in and consuming this. I hope it helped you. And if it did, pay it forward by like, subscribe, or sharing it. Help more people find this content and get the help that you've received. Also, leave a review, feedback. If there's any way that I can improve the show to deliver more value for you, I want to do that. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.